We travel in a one-horse open sleigh. Now that it's Christmas time.
11:09. Thank you, Sufjan. Thank you, Kim. By the way, Kim, you know, I've got a virtual kettle from the Salvation Army.
I know. How's that going? You see,
terrible.
They're feeding lots of people. They
terrible.
Need the help.
Terrible, terrible. It's going terribly. Thank you for asking. I'm really discouraged right now.
This community is so giving. I know people are going to step up.
All we asked for was $25,000 between Thanksgiving and Christmas time, which was, I didn't think about this when I came up with that number, about $1,000 a day. And so now we should be at $9,000. We're at about $4,600. So if you could make a donation to johnwilliamskettle.org, johnwilliamskettle.org. It's not about me, but it kind of is, but it's also about the Salvation Army and helping them do the most good. There is true need, as Kim will tell you out there. And we're asking you to, I think this is a really easy way to do it. Go to johnwilliamskettle.org. There you can make a donation for however much. I'm behind a little bit right now. I'm optimistic. Kim's right. This is a very giving community. You understand the need. If you're going to write a check, if you're going to make a credit card payment, you can make it to the Salvation Army at johnwilliamskettle.org. Last week we were talking about the fact that an attorney in Chicago is actually spearheading a class action lawsuit against the IHSA. You remember how in the NFL the guys got concussions, so they wanted a pool of money to help them down the road, and then college did the same thing. Now high school is doing a class action suit, although they're not asking for monetary relief. We interviewed last week that Joseph Siprit guy. I've got two bites for you to hear. Here's bite number one.
Well, because with high school, you're talking about adolescents, meaning a developing, physically or biologically still developing adolescent brain. And medically, it's established that the harm of a concussive impact to a undeveloped brain is even more devastating than it is to an adult fully formed brain. And so you combine that with sometimes, you know, a lack of resources at the high school level where you have a lot of things kind of slipping through the cracks, and that's a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, no argument here. So one more soundbite from Joseph Siprit. He says that, then he says this.
And our hope is that we're able to affect meaningful change through this case. We're not seeking the recovery of personal injury damages. It's not a personal injury lawsuit. The chief objective of the case is to force the IHSA's hand and get them to bring their policies up to the level where we believe they should be, and hopefully to establish some sort of medical monitoring program for students so that they can have the opportunity to figure out if they have some sort of what I would call almost like a bomb in their heads, and they don't even know it, because the risk, the injury, the long-term injury prospects, if you have a second concussion before the first concussion have healed, I mean, that's really where you get into the area of long-term brain damage.
Marty Hickman is the executive director of the IHSA and joins us in the studio. Marty, thanks for coming by. How are you?
I'm doing great, John. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Your reaction to what Mr. Siprit said there?
Well, my reaction is if you really want to help somebody, you don't sue them. There are lots of things that they could do to help. We hadn't heard from these folks, you know, prior to the lawsuit. We've invited many, many people to the table, doctors, trainers, legislators, school board members, and certainly anyone that they bring to the table. We'd love to sit down and work toward the common goal of making football as safe as it can be.
Do you think there's a problem with concussions in high school sports?
Well, I think there are concussions in high school sports, and they have been. We have had concussions for, you know, since we started playing high school sports. I think we know more now than we ever knew about concussions. I think we have better education than we ever had. I think we have better training for coaches. An example of that would be just in the last 4 or 5 months, over 22,000 coaches in Illinois high schools have taken a concussion education program that we developed in conjunction with the Illinois State Legislature. So I think we're very proactively addressing any challenges that there are with concussions.
What about his suit do you not like, besides the fact that it is a suit?
Well, the scope of this, John, is just really remarkable if you think about it. There are 32 teams in the NFL. We have 576 teams that play high school football. 47,000 kids strapped on a helmet represented their high schools in interscholastic football for us this school year alone. You know, think of the scope of a medical monitoring program that goes back to 2002 at 47,000 kids times however many years that is, and you have a tremendous cumbersome program that will simply divert resources away from helping interscholastic activities become safer and better for young people.
It's going to be counterproductive?
I'm saying it will divert resources away from our efforts to make things better for high school kids who play high school football and other sports that we have.
The suit will. Why?
Yes.
Because you have to divert money and attention to the suit itself, you mean?
Exactly. And so will our schools. You know, we don't have a budget like the NCAA or the NFL. We're made up of 810 high schools who are all struggling financially. I think most people that listen to your program and around the state would realize the difficulty that high schools are having at this time. So the pot of money is only so big, and if it gets diverted into programs that take away from educational efforts, I think, yes, it will be counterproductive.
Well, he says, I'm not going to cost you a lot of money. He said, it's not like I'm saying you got to have a bunch of doctors and nurses and pay for them to be on the sidelines, but we need to train these people. We need to have a baseline protocol, et cetera, et cetera. He makes it sound very common sense.
Well, he does, and it's a little bit like your previous discussion about minimum wage. There's a lot to it when you get behind the numbers, and there are lots of ways to look at this. You might make it look very simple, but the fact of the matter, in a school like I grew up in, New Berlin High School, small rural school outside of Springfield, Illinois, likely doesn't have a family practice doctor even in town. So if we're going to have 576 high school football programs with a doctor there at every practice and every game, not to mention all the levels that schools have, it's going to be very cumbersome for folks.
Is that what they want? Do they want a doctor at every practice? I don't think they want that.
That's in the lawsuit.
Really? Sure. They're asking for that?
They're asking for, at a minimum, somebody on call at practice, absolutely. And what about soccer? What about competitive cheerleading? What about all the other activities that we have? The scope of this is, honestly, it's astounding. And we've done so much already, quite frankly. And we're continuing to do more.
Yeah. But I just wonder what on-call means. I mean, a friend of mine was on-call, and we were at a Blackhawks game. So it didn't mean that he had to be there. And so I'm not sure that, you know, what you're suggesting absolutely applies. You simply need to have somebody agree to be the on-call doctor for the high school teams if at a practice some kid has what might be a concussion. That seems to be reasonable, doesn't it?
Well, I think there are many other things that would be far more effective. That's not going to prevent one concussion, having a doctor on call. What's going to prevent concussions are better education, better training, having parents more involved, having kids more involved, and that's the mission that we're on right now. And we've been doing that for the last several years, and I think our record is really good in that area.
Yeah. You know, the thing too, Marty, is the game is at the pro, at the college, and at the high school level too. It seems like the kids are just so much bigger and faster. You know, the contact is so much more severe than it was when I was playing football. You know what I mean?
It is, and the equipment is much better. And you know what, John? We're not giving kids salt tablets anymore either. So
yeah, we used to take those.
Yes, we did.
Gosh.
And we have progressed so far in the area of risk minimization compared to when you would have played high school football, when I would have played high school football. And we continue down that road. Our national organization just had a high school concussion summit, had the best people, medical people from all over the country at it. There are going to be additional recommendations that we're talking about at our board meeting in December. So we're on a good path here, John. We really are. And high school football is a great, great game. And I just would hate to see anything happen to it that would discourage schools from offering it.
Well, here's who gets discouraged. It's the moms and dads. Marty Hickman's the executive director of the IHSA. Let me take a break, Marty. When we come back, talk to the parent who is concerned that their kid may get a concussion. Their daughter playing soccer, their son playing football, etc. Tell me what you want them to hear on WGN.
So this is Christmas, for weak and for strong, the rich and the poor ones, the road is so long.
34 years ago today, 34 years ago today. Can you believe that? John Lennon shot and killed in New York City. 11:23 on WGN. This is John Williams. We were just talking, this is part two, if you will, of a conversation we started last week with Joseph Siprit. He's that guy with Siprit PC, the attorney who's filing a class action suit against the IHSA because he said they're not doing enough to prevent kids from getting concussions. So now the executive director of the IHSA is in our studio. That's Marty Hickman. And Marty said, well, if you really want to do somebody some good, you don't start out by suing them. Well, you didn't say this, but I presume you think let's work together, right, Marty? Let's find some common ground and work towards those goals.
Absolutely, and that's what we've done for years. We've done it with the legislature. We've done it with school boards. We've done it with the Coaches Association, Illinois Athletic Trainers Association, doctors and physicians all over the country in Illinois. We've all sat down at the table and tried to work harder, better, smarter to make football and other sports safer.
So if a parent, though, is, I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, maybe you don't like his means. Maybe he's got ulterior motives. I'm not sure exactly why he's doing this, but he says that he's concerned about kids and concussions, and that's the point. I think all of us are. It's just getting scary these days. And so what do you say to parents whose kids want to play high school football or high school soccer?
Well, I would say, first of all, you know, they're not likely to play for the Bears. They're not likely to play for the Northwestern Wildcats. But if they play high school football, high school soccer, any interscholastic athletic activity or activity for that matter, they're going to be better citizens when they're through with that process. They're going to learn how to get up when they get knocked down. They're going to learn how to be a better teammate. They're going to learn lessons that will pay dividends the rest of their life. And in regard to soccer, football, all other sports, and with regard to concussions, we know more now than we ever have. We'll know more next week than we know this week, and we're going to continue to do everything we can to make these activities safe. And we think we can do that. And I would say to folks, if your kid wants to play high school football, encourage them to play high school football. If they want to play soccer, encourage them to play soccer because they'll be better young people for it.
What's your response going to be to the suit? What happens now?
Oh, we defend it. I mean, we have a good story to tell, and we're going to tell our story.
So I wonder what happens if they're not seeking monetary rewards. I presume what they want to do is impose changes on you. Is that it?
Oh, John, don't be, you know, this has a monetary component. The NCAA established a $75 million fund, and if people think all that fund is going to NCAA athletes, they would be misguided on that. And they're establishing of a fund for medical monitoring for the number of people that are at play in this lawsuit would be far more extensive than the number of the NCAA. So there's a lot of money at play here.
Oh, no kidding. So they want the schools to contribute to a fund that will go into the medical monitoring of these kids?
Absolutely, right.
And how much would that cost a school or a school district or a team or a player? Do you know?
I don't, but I suspect it has a lot of zeros behind it, more so than the NCAA settlement, I would guess, because we have far more teams than in the NCAA or the NFL, and certainly far more kids participating. So if we have to provide a medical monitoring fund for students who played high school football from 2002 and beyond, you're talking a number that would approach a half a million kids, if not more.
All right. Well, I appreciate you coming in this morning, Marty. I guess the ball will be back in his court. You haven't heard the last of Joseph Siprit, I'm sure, but we'd like to talk to you again down the road about this as well.
Yeah, we'd love to talk to you too, John. Thank you for having us on.
Okay, let's put the both of you on, and then we won't have this conversation in a courtroom, and we'll save everybody a lot of money. How about that?
If you'd agree to that, we're all in.
It's 11:27. That might happen. Thank you, sir. We appreciate your time. Good luck to you. This is WGN. Speaking of class action suits, shouldn't there be a bait and switch class action suit by everybody who took time to watch the bogus, and I mean untrue, bogus, man-eaten by anaconda show yesterday? A little bit more about that. Plus, what's happening on my Facebook page?
Anaconda don't, my anaconda don't, my anaconda don't want none unless you got buns, hun.
Stand by, guys. Stand by. Starting to feel like she's consuming right here. Nobody move.
I think it's going for his head.
Guys, my face is down and I can't feel my arm. She's squeezing hard.
Paul, are you okay?
Paul, you okay?
My arm.
Did he just
my
say
anaconda don't
My face is down and I can't get up. Is that what he said? My face is down and I can't get up. Discovery Channel needs to change the name of that network, too. We discovered how much we can fool you people. Network. I mean, really. That network has no shame. And how do we not have a class action suit against the network for bait and switch? Because you watch a show for 2 hours, which is eaten alive. It was taped, so they knew how much the guy was consumed. And then he jumps in with this body of armor, which didn't evidently put him in much danger. And then the anaconda wraps around and squeezes him real tight. And then a bunch of people pull the snake off. The snake didn't eat him. The snake did not put its mouth around his head. I wanted him to go in. I wanted him to go into the snake, be in the digestive tract for a while, slosh around in the juices. I thought that was the deal. Isn't that, if I said to you, eaten alive, what do you think happens?
Your whole body goes into the snake.
If you know, I was thinking, okay, well, if we can see him from the knee out, okay, so say we see his sneakers still wiggling out the mouth. I'm okay with that. I think I got my money's worth. But if the snake just kind of coils around him and wrestles with him a little while, that's called wrestled alive. That's not called eaten alive. I wanted to see eaten alive.
Did you watch it, John?
No. I was really upset, though, because I wanted to see it. I wanted to see him get eaten alive. Of course, I was rooting for the snake. No snakes were injured in the, evidently, recording of the show because the snake didn't eat him. The snake just wrestled with him.
I will never watch another Discovery Channel
show. So you did, huh?
Show. I didn't. But just on principle now, I'm like, well, lied to us about that snake thing.
Well, I'm sorry, but I think there's like when Discovery Channel, that was the network that broadcast Nick Wallenda walking across the Chicago River, right? Right?
Yes.
Okay, that was for real. I mean, it was drawn out because it was
a 2-hour
show.
And that was annoying, too.
But that's on us, right? I mean, at least Wallenda did it. You know, if this were the equivalent from the snake show to the Wallenda show, he wouldn't have done it at all. Or he would have, I don't know, walked across a rope 6 inches above the Chicago River or something. I don't know. I don't know how they would have made that bogus. But this was just bogus. This was not what they delivered. The guy said I was going to get eaten alive. The cameras recorded the whole thing. The snake didn't eat him. So then the producers have a problem. Oh, what are we going to do now? The snake didn't eat him. Well, let's still call it eaten alive and not care. Because we've already got eaten alive. We've got graphics. We've even got a jingle. So we really have to go with that. They could have just said, well, he didn't eat him, so let's just rerun the Wallenda show or something else. But no, they promoted it. He did interviews. I wonder how he does all these interviews. How does it not slip? How does he not say, well, technically, I never went in? Because that would be a moment of truth. That would be kind of cool if the snake's mouth is now going around your head. Now, that's kind of cool. I'm in. I want to see you do that, Jack.
I don't know if I would still want to see that, though.
Why not? Because that'd be too awful?
Yeah.
Or because it's not sufficiently awesome?
Because it's not sufficiently awesome. Yeah, it'd just be what? Black.
Well, I know, right? It's not like we've never... It's not like mankind has never journeyed inside a snake. We know it's inside a snake. You could open one up. They've got autopsies and x-rays, and it's not like we went to Mars here, some asteroid, and we don't know what's there. It's the inside of a snake. So what was the scientific purpose, Discovery Channel? That's the thing. I used to think of Discovery Channel as almost like National Geographic nonstop.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Cool learning stuff.
A little less boring. I mean, I love National Geographic, but
yeah.
Discovery was the like poppy version of it.
Right,
but
right.
They've taken it too far.
God, they sold
They're
their
now
soul.
The TMZ of that genre.
Hey, Discovery Channel, if a network could jump the shark, you jumped the snake and the shark last night. 2 hours of wrestling with a snake. That's all it was. So I'm predicting, I'm not going to be part of this because I didn't watch it last night, but I'm predicting that there will be a class action suit, a bait and switch thing. People will maybe assess the value of 2 hours of their lives. Well, I make $18 an hour. You owe me $36. And then anybody who can prove that they watched that show will get a check for $36 from the Discovery Channel for their life back. or the guy has to go be eaten by a snake. Either way, just if they could, they go, well, look, it's going to cost us $18 million. Just throw him into the snakes. And in this case, he doesn't get the you know, Terminator outfit on. He doesn't get the hardware. He just gets to go eaten by a snake. Now, that I would pay good money to see. On my Facebook page, we have, I need your top three Christmas movies in order. This is important, damn it. Here's mine. It's A Wonderful Life, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, and White Christmas. Yours, go. And then, I can't believe this. This is so awesome. We found the old movie classic scenes that we recreated with me from years ago, from a few years ago. So there's me as the Grinch. There's me as Jimmy Stewart in It's a Wonderful Life. There's me as Elf. There's me as, there's a whole bunch of scenes, classic scenes.
Oh, I remember that. That was hilarious.
Love Actually, there I am standing there with the sign, and the shot is from over the shoulder of the young woman, and you see me just holding up a sign.
Well, at least you didn't do the pornographic scene.
I did do the...
What?
I did do the Home Alone, Macaulay Culkin, where I don't have my shirt on, and I've got my hands up to my face.
The shaving one, yes.
By the way, little trivia to all of this. Emma McElhern is the young woman over whose shoulder I am holding the sign in that one recreation from Love Actually. So I'm looking at what you're all saying, your favorite, but I got to change mine, Mary. It just dawned on me that I have a very controversial list. I go,
were we supposed to send them to you?
Yeah, it's time for you guys to announce.
Oh,
I'm ready to go.
I've got Wonderful Life 1, Christmas Vacation 2, and my number 3 is Grinch with Jim Carrey.
Oh, really?
That's a good one.
I'm sorry. That is a...
Stand that one.
I love that
movie. Yeah, it's Jim Carrey. He just bothers me.
He's really good in it. It's a wonderful show. So I go 3, Grinch, 2, Christmas Vacation, 1, Wonderful Life. Kim Gordon, what's your 3?
Okay, 1, Holiday Inn, 2, Love Actually, and number 3, because it's the only Hanukkah movie we'll ever have, Adam Sandler's 8 Crazy Nights.
So, wait a minute. But your top one is the one you gave us first, right?
Right, Holiday Inn, yes.
Holiday Inn. All right, do them in reverse order, Mary. Build
oh,
the
reverse?
Suspense here.
Oh, yes, okay.
Well, I'm not asking you to count in Chinese here. What's your 3? What's your 2? What's
going,
your 1?
Let's see. 3, I'm going to Santa Claus with Tim Allen.
Nice.
Surprisingly
good movie. I really
like
that one.
Yeah, it makes you believe, you know?
It does. It really does.
Yeah, especially when she gets the game at the end.
I just like it when he suddenly grows the hair.
Yeah, well, that is funny.
Oh, that's hilarious.
That's
okay.
Funny. So that's 3. Yeah. Christmas Story 2 and
Very
Love
good.
Actually 1. Love Actually.
Deck, you got your 3-2-1 for us?
Yep. 3, Love Actually.
No. It's a chick film.
Yeah, and it's probably my number one non-Christmas movie. But if we're just doing Christmas, 3, Love Actually, number 2, A Christmas Story, and number 1, Home Alone.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Keep the change, you filthy animal. I just love that movie. It is just, it's a childhood favorite.
My problem with Love Actually, what are there, 4 or 5 stories in there? The one storyline that I just think is ridiculous and don't like are the two that are the stand-ins for the porn movies.
Yeah, they really should have removed that.
I'm not upset about it. I'm not a prude, but it's just, it's dumb. I don't even believe those jobs exist, and it's unnecessary.
And he's not even good looking.
I know.
The guy in it is not even good looking to be in a porn.
If they were stunt actors, anything, but it's just like, that's too dumb for me. Everything else I love in that movie.
It makes you uncomfortable when you're watching it with your kids. When it gets to that part, you're like, oh man,
so
why did they
awkward.
Have to ruin my favorite movie little, with this?
There's a little bit of that too. Okay, I'll pause. You may want to jump in here. 312-981-7200. This is WGN.